ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. Reading from Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, entitled The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, text number 28. Dharmata kama moksham cha.
Dharmata kama moksham cha.
Saho payan yatamune.
Saho payan yatamune.
Nanakya ne tihaseshu.
Nanakya ne tihaseshu.
Varnayam asa tatvavit. Word for word, please repeat. Dharma.
Dharma.
Occupational duties.
Occupational duties.
Artha. Economic development.
Economic
Karma.
Karma.
Fulfillment of desires.
Moksham.
Ultimate salvation.
Ultimate salvation.
Cha. And.
Saha.
Along with.
Upaya.
Means.
Yata.
As it is. Mune. O sage. Nana. Various. Akyana. By recitation of historical narrations. Itihaseshu. In the histories. Vanayam Asha. Described. Tatvavit. One who knows the truth. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. Then he described the occupational duties of different orders and statuses of life, citing instances from history, for he was himself well acquainted with the truth. Purport. Incidents mentioned in the Vedic literatures, such as the Puranas, Mahabharata, and Ramayana, are factual historical narrations that took place sometime in the past, although not in any chronological order. Such historical facts being instructed for ordinary men were assorted without chronological reference. Besides that, they happen on different planets, nay, in different universes. And thus the description of the narrations is sometimes measured by three dimensions. We are simply concerned with the instructive lesson of each of such incidents, even though they are not in order by our limited range of understanding. Bhishma Dev described such narrations before Maharaj Yudhisthira in reply to his different questions. Om Gyanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chachur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vatalam Pangulayate Girim Yakripatamaham Bande Shri Gurim Vinataranam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again. Then he described the occupational duties of different orders and statuses of life, citing instances from history, for he was himself well acquainted with the truth. So in this first sentence of the purport here, Prabhupada says, incidents mentioned in the Vedic literatures such as the Puranas, Mahabharata and Ramayana are factual historical narrations that took place sometime in the past. So it was just maybe 2 or 3 days ago, I stopped this man in the street and I showed him the Bhagavad Gita and he goes, oh yeah, I've got two Bhagavad Gitas. I said, oh, were they, do you have one translated by Srila Prabhupada? And then I showed him a picture of Prabhupada. And he said, actually, no, I don't. He said, I have one by some Swami I never heard of before, I can't remember his name. But he said that I especially like the one by Paramahamsa Yogananda. You know, because he has a very different take on it. You know, he says that actually the battle of Kurukshetra, it represents the battle with the mind. You know, and the Pandavas represent the five senses. You know, and the Kauravas, Duryodhana and his brothers, they represent the obstacles in devotional, in spiritual life. You know, and you know, after he told me this, he says, "Oh, so what's your take on it then?" And I couldn't help myself. So I think, and you know, like Kurukshetra is a place that still exists today. The battle of Kurukshetra, the battle that happened at Kurukshetra is a historical fact. You know, the Pandavas were persons and they were very intimate associates of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, and... yeah, so what does this mean? Ultimately, that when people come up with these... or these bogus swamis and yogis, they come up with these their own interpretations of what Bhagavad Gita really, really means. You know, how you know, ultimately all they're trying to do is to deny Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, if the Pandavas, they represent the senses, who was Krishna talking to? You know, Krishna says, you know, or Sanjay says, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Aso Chanam Vasochastvam, Pragyatvacham Stabasase, Gatasimakatasam Cha, Nanu Shoncham Tipantitaha. He says, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. You know, so the wise neither lament for the living nor for the dead. So who is Krishna speaking to? Which one of the senses? Was he speaking to the eyes, the ears? It's like, so they, and it's stated throughout Bhagavad Gita, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. You know, the one who possesses six opulences in full, knowledge, wealth, strength, fame, beauty, renunciation. You know, so, ultimately, to deny the authority of Krishna, because if Krishna isn't an authority, then it means that anyone can derive any meaning they like from Bhagavad Gita. You know, just out of curiosity, I did some surfing on the web yesterday. I went to Paramahamsa Yogananda's website. You know, and there's a list of like famous quotes by Paramahamsa Yogananda. And these are just a couple of them. The truth is that we are gods. You know, so this statement alone is very interesting. You know how he puts an S on the end of gods. This just proves the level of ignorance that he is in. You know, he's not understanding that God means the Supreme Person. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasava Pritya. You know that Krishna, there's one Supreme Controller and all others are servants. Jivara Svarupa Hoi Krishna Nityadas. You know, so the fact that he said that we are all gods, you know, proves that he doesn't even know the definition of who or what God is. You know, and there's a subtle statement. Everything is God. This very room and the universe are floating like a motion picture on the screen of my consciousness. Now, it sounds very, very attractive, very flowery words. You know, but if everything is God, then why should we listen to Paramahamsa Yogananda? Or any other person that, trying to impart spiritual knowledge? If everything is God, you know, why not listen to anyone or anything? Isn't it? So as I said, ultimately it all boils down to that they don't want to listen to Krishna. You know, it's a manifestation of envy. Why should Krishna be God? Now, I have my own thoughts and opinions on this. Now, why should I listen to Krishna? In the nature of instruction to the sixth verse, Srila Prabhupada, he writes in the purport there that this Krishna consciousness movement is a transcendental science, and that there is no room for jealousy. This movement is for the Paramahamsas, who are completely free from jealousy. Paramam nirmatsaranam satam. Now this, it seems that actually there's a bit of a contradiction in Paramahamsa Yogananda's name. Now, in the second verse of Bhagavatam, it says that Paramahamsa, you know, is one whose heart is completely free from envy. So it just proves that, you know, these bogus swamis and yogis, they have no actual knowledge of Shastra. You know, there's so many, hundreds, probably even thousands of shlokas quoting or stating Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, aham savasya prabhava mata sarvam pravartite iti madvava jante mam buddha bhava samampatam. That I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Sarvasya jaham vridhi sanivastam matasmitim gyanam apohanam cha. Virastasave ahameva vidyo vidantakrit vedvid eva chaham. That I am seated in everyone's heart and from me comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. By all the Veda signs to be known, indeed I am the compiler of the Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, Ete Changsa Kalapungsa Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Riddhiyanti Yuge Yuge. That Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all incarnations, they come from Him. Just as one lights one candle from another candle, there is the original, and then all candles come from the original, are lit from the original. So this this anartha of envy, it's very dangerous. In fact, it's the reason why we're in the material world in the first place, unless we're a Nitya Siddha. And I sent personally by Krishna himself to preach the message of Godhead. So it's described how, you know, it wasn't a direct manifestation of hatred towards Krishna, the reason why we came to the material world. It's described how, well, Prabhupada gives the example of, you know, you're having like rice dal chapatis, you know, every day. You know, and one day you think, oh, wouldn't it be like to have like sabji and puri today? You know? So it's like we're enjoying with Krishna in the material, in the Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. And we think, oh, I wonder what it'd be like, you know, if Krishna wasn't here. You know, I wonder what it's like in a different place without Krishna. You know, so it's just that desire to change. And then when the living entity comes in contact with material nature, you know, this envy, it develops into more of an intense hatred towards Krishna, because we want to be ultimately the Ishvaraham Aham Bhogi, that we want to be the ultimate, the controller and the enjoyer. And so, there's a very nice pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which gives a good understanding of what happens to those who are envious. You know, once after Srila Haridas Thakur, he had delivered the prostitute. We know that the prostitute, she moved into the cave where Haridas Thakur was living. And Haridas Thakur, he left the cave and he was wandering along, and he came to a place called Chandapur. You know, and at that place, he met one person. He was a priest called Balaramacharya. He was actually the priest of, or the priest for Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar, who were the father and uncle of Raghunath Das, later to become Raghunath Das Goswami. So Balaramacharya and Haridas Thakur, they became very close, very good friends. You know, and Balaramacharya, he took all the necessary steps to keep Haridas Thakur in Chandipur. You know, he served them very nicely. He recognized Haridas Thakur as, you know, a topmost Paramahamsa, the greatest sadhu, Namaracharya. And so he took the necessary steps to keep Haridas Thakur in Chandapur. And one day, Balaramacharya, he went to see Haridas Thakur, and he submitted a plea at the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur that he please come with him to the assembly house of Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar. You know, so Haridas Thakur, he went along with Balaramacharya to the assembly hall. And when he got there, there was many great scholars and pundits in the assembly hall. And there was a debate going on about what were the true glories of the holy name. And some of the scholars were saying, you know, I think the benefits of the chanting the glory, the holy name, is that one can become free from all sinful reactions. And some other scholars are saying that, actually no, liberation is the ultimate benefit from chanting the holy name. And then they put the argument to Haridas Thakur. And then Haridas Thakur said, actually, you know, these two things, becoming free from sinful desires and attaining liberation, this is not the real benefit of chanting the holy name. You know, actually, these two side benefits, they come just from namabhas, just from a slight glimpse of the holy name. Like namabhas is chanting, it's described that when the sun is just on the horizon and the light is starting to show, it dissipates the darkness. It says that is namabhas. That is when offenseless. Yeah, it's when the offenses are reduced. It's namaparad, offensive chanting, namabhas, offenseless, and then it's pure, shudanam, right? Clearing, that's the word I'm looking for, clearing, yeah. Okay, so Haridas Thakur described that just as when the sun dissipates the darkness, all the thieves, rogues, and booters, they run away. You know, so similarly, when the clearing stage of chanting comes, that all these sinful reactions within one's heart, they dissipate. You know, and there was one personality present in that assembly hall called Gopal Chakravarti. And Gopal Chakravarti, he was a tax collector for Hiranyangovardhan. And he was a logician and basically a Mayavadi. And when he heard that Haridas Thakur had the audacity to say that just by a mere glimpse, just by namabhas, you know, one can attain liberation, yeah, he became very, very angry, you know, and he stood up in the assembly and he shouted at Haridas Thakur that if by chanting namabhas one does not attain liberation, then be sure that I will cut off your nose. You know, and what was Haridas Thakur's reply? Haridas Thakur's reply was, well, if one can't attain liberation by chanting namabhas, yeah, then be sure I will cut off my own nose. You know, so when Gopal Chakravarti, once this threat had been made against Haridas Thakur, the assembly, or there was uproar in the assembly hall. You know, and Balaram Acharya, he chastised Gopal Chakravarti, you know, you're just a foolish logician, what do you know about chanting the holy name? You know, and Hiranyangovardhan, they fired Gopal Chakravarti from his position as tax collector. You know, and he was banished from the assembly hall. And a few days after this incident, Gopal Chakravarti, he contracted leprosy. And his beautiful nose, it melted away off his face. You know, so this envy, it's very detrimental. You know, especially directed towards the Lord and his devotees. Very, very dangerous. You know, one can never attain the lotus feet of Krishna by manifesting envy towards his devotees, especially towards his devotees, what to speak of Krishna himself. So what was Prabhupada's definition of envy? Now, Prabhupada, he said that actually envy is just indirect glorification. You know, that someone has something better than we do, and we want it. You know, and you know, we see that envious people, they like to put others down. You know, that in the New Zealand, there's a famous saying that they call it tall poppy syndrome. You know, that one becomes very proud of their, you know, whatever it would be, learning or the opulence that they have, and then it's only a matter of time before someone envious comes along and chops them down. They're saying it's called tall poppy syndrome. So the simple rectification of this envy is, so instead of becoming angry and wanting to dishonor that person that one is envious towards, we just change that to direct glorification. So we actually glorify that person for their qualities that they have. You know, and we humbly ask them, please teach me how to do that. Or how can I have the same qualities that you do? Actually, some time ago I was heavily suffering from this anatta. And my Gurudev Devamrita Swami, because he's so loving and caring of his disciples, he pulled me aside and, you know, he spoke to me about this. And he gave me the instruction, which actually saved my devotional career. He said that you should serve all of your god brothers like sannyasis. Like they are sannyasis. You know? And I took that instruction to heart. And actually that gradually that, and it is curing. It's the sannata is still very much there, but I'm gradually feeling that I'm becoming cured. You know, that actually, you know, I start to recognize and can glorify the devotees for the wonderful qualities they have instead of becoming envious towards them. So, So I'll stop here. Has anyone got any comments or questions or anything they'd like to add? Okay, Kantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya, Dwapara Namaste.